All right, well, we are back from stuff. Yeah, that's real enthusiastic on my end. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And sorry we did not have a Monday show. Barely able to have a Tuesday show. I've had enough Fisherman's Friend to have a voice. Been fighting something off for the last week, and yesterday it kind of just hit to the point where I just didn't feel like I could talk for 30 minutes. So we'll see if we can get through today. We'll do the best we can. It's gonna be a battle, but we'll try to get it done here. So some interesting things coming out of Monday. Most of it had to do, in my opinion, as far as the level of interest, the Ronnie Bell story. We've gotten kind of all the way, from inception to conclusion here with the fan reaction, the Connor Grady email. Connor Grady apologized from Larry Lage, through Larry Lage, through AP. And so we will touch on all of that. We will probably touch again. I say probably as if we're not going to. We'll continue to touch on the offense as a whole and kind of what is going on there. Just kind of what makes me feel like this is an opportunity with Notre Dame. And then we'll finish out just kind of on recalibrating the season expectations. Things aren't what we thought they were going to be, most likely. It's going to be very hard to get to the point where Michigan could even play for a Big Ten championship. So we'll get to all of that. Let's start with the Ronnie Bell stuff. And let's if you didn't catch it, which I'm sure you'd be living under a rock if you hadn't, after Ronnie Bell's dropped pass in the end zone, no, I actually didn't see a lot of criticism of Bell. I saw a little bit, but not a lot. But I kind of avoided social media after this game for the most part. I blocked one person on Instagram. My Instagram has like a strict, and it's right in my bio. Negative comments about players it's not a free speech zone in the sense that you're free from the consequence of getting blocked or not, Because the players see it. Players see all of your negative comments. That's the funny thing. And some people think like, oh, cool, well, I'm helping. It's like, that's not how it works. That's not, they don't, even though Josh Uche said like, it fuels us. That's not a good way to be. It's like, we want, our fans hate us. Therefore it feels like it's more Michigan against the fans when it comes to that. Now I know it's a vocal minority of people that feel entitled to what their team does, and it's a ridiculous way to take it. I'm not saying don't be upset when, things don't go right, but, the people that don't understand that these guys are up for, at 5 a.m. for lifts, and, they're trying to juggle football and classes, and it's like, these are real people that are doing, they have a microscope on them, right? If you mess up at your job, you don't have, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people aware of your mistake, usually. I mean, maybe you do. If I mess up at my job, I have, maybe a couple thousand people aware of my mistake, but that's the extent of it. Guy like Ronnie Bell, literally like millions of people are aware of his mistake at this point. And you forget that that's like a 19-year-old kid who is, working his tail off in every facet. And people lose sight of that type of thing. And it's disappointing and it's disheartening because, I understand you're going to get mad when things don't go your way, but you didn't do it maliciously, number one. You can sit there and say, do your job, but it's a lot harder to do your job in a situation like that where someone's actively trying to prevent you from doing it. And even if the Penn State guy didn't really impact the play to a large, large degree, just imagine like whatever you're doing, whether like say you're a bank teller and you're trying to just hand out money. You know, someone's like, oh, I'd like $40. And you have someone trying to rip that $40 out of your hand and keep you from giving it to someone. I mean, yeah, it's a, you know, even the threat of it makes things more difficult. I don't know. It's, I just don't understand what, where people think that they like kind of get to the point where they are, they feel entitled to, you know, you can sit there and say, I spend money and blah, blah, blah. But I just don't, I don't understand that, that mentality. Anyway, so Harbaugh directly addressed the Conor O'Grady situation of him, the recent alum, sending the email to Ronnie Bell, which Ronnie Bell's dad, Aaron, posted on Twitter. And I know there's some people that have issues with it. I don't have an issue with that because I think if you have the audacity to send that email, you also are subjecting yourself to the possibility of the repercussions therein. So I think that that was, oh, I think that that was fine that Ronnie Bell's dad posted it. I really do. Because I think it shines a light on people that, that do these types of things. And you see that this is the type of thing that these guys also have to experience on top of everything. And you think that helps them win games? And I see some, you know, so-called media accounts. They're not really media, right? They're not like people who are actually at these games. And I'm not referring to just, I'm not referring to Yoder. I'm referring to others just before, yeah, I'll absolve Yoder of this just before he starts coming at me like he likes to do. But, you know, I see other accounts out there that act with that level of entitlement and act like, don't like recognize what these guys go through on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, yearly basis. You know, they just don't, they don't understand what it takes and that there's people doing it on both sides, you know, working hard towards these goals. Again, I'm not saying be happy with the result, but understand the process before you go out there and start slamming these guys. I just don't understand what's like, that's not a part of fandom that ever made sense to me. Slam the coaches, sure. I thought the coaches had a pretty good game for the most part. Because I think people forget, people talk about like the game plan, say, well, you know, the game plan was terrible because it didn't work early. You have to keep in mind that you have two coaches with different game plans. They've scouted each other. They're trying to work against each other. Sometimes one's going to work, and then you make adjustments, and that's the bigger thing is what do you do to adjust? And I thought Michigan did a good job of that. But anyway, getting back to the Conor O'Grady story, Harbaugh called him out and said he probably got drunk, and now he probably regrets having fired that off. That's what I tell my, you know, tell our guys, like, hey, if someone says these things to you, just recognize that it's probably someone that, you know, had been drinking, was emotional, wasn't thinking, did their, you know, did the deal. You just have to ignore it. But it's easier said than done to ignore it, obviously. Because obviously Ronnie forwarded that email to his dad, showed his dad that, that email, and Aaron Bell was like, okay. Since, after all of that, Larry Lage from AP reached out to Conor Grady, and he apologized through Larry. Also, he seemed to have created a Twitter account in which he reached out to Aaron Bell and said, hey, can you please accept my apology? I was not acting right. That's the best you can hope for in a situation like that. I think that we need to stop piling on when it comes to that for that reason, because this person apologized. So we move on. But it does show the broader landscape of fandom. And like Quiddy Pay talked about it yesterday, and I thought this was absolutely prescient, where he talked about how when he committed, he got kind of some similar stuff. A bunch of Michigan fans being like, why is Michigan taking this bum from Rhode Island? He's just a 3-star. Now look at him. He's a starter. He's one of the most reliable people on the defense. So sometimes people just need to take a step back. Ronnie Bell was in the same situation too. You know, he was under recruited because he was a basketball commit in, you know, the Missouri Valley Conference, and then decided, you know what, I am going to play football. Didn't go to camps, didn't do all those things that get you on the radar from like the Barton Simmons, Steve Wiltfong, Josh Helmholtz types. So I'm just saying, like, if you want to be upset about things, fine, but just find like a more mature way to go about it. Like I said, that it just doesn't make any sense to me the way that people kind of treat that. Anyway, all right. That's enough about that. Let us move on. If you're looking for a new way to reach customers and you want to reach an upscale male audience, then your podcast, or not your podcast, your company should be featured right here on this podcast, right here, right now. Email me at ihole@usatoday.com for more details about increasing your business. All right, so we will talk about recalibrating expectations here in a bit, but first, let's talk about the Michigan offense. I again really feel like it showed something. Jim Harbaugh called Shea Patterson's performance heroic. I agree with that. I thought Shea really put the team on his back, and that's the second game in a row we've seen that. No, the numbers don't necessarily look again amazing, but you know, 24 for 41, 26 for 41, something like that. But you know, again, like there were 7 dropped passes, so it should have been 31 for 41. There were a couple throwaways, you have to keep that in mind. A couple runs I thought really looked good. I think Michigan's offense, it really might actually be hitting its stride the way that Harbaugh said. I know the numbers don't look amazing when you look at where Michigan is ranked, 80th in total offense right now, 391.6 yards per game, but it is climbing. It is getting, you know, slightly better. It's not the dumpster fire of Michigan State, which looked like it showed some life for a minute, but they're all the way down at 100th right now. Michigan's still in the bottom half, but it is steadily improving. Have a big game this week. You know, things could move up a little bit. This is not Oklahoma, which is averaging 612 yards a game. It's not even Ohio State, 527, but definitely working. Here's the good news. You just played a Penn State team that was top 5 in defense. They moved down to number 12 after this game, 282 yards surrendered in a per-game basis. Michigan is just a couple behind them. Notre Dame is an opportunity for Michigan here. They're 39th in defense. So Michigan's already faced, you know, 36 Army. Michigan's already faced, let's see, who else? Not a lot of other guys. Obviously, 12 Penn State, number 1 Wisconsin, number 10 Iowa. So Michigan's already faced a couple top-tier defenses. Notre Dame, 39. They allow 346 yards a game. That's a good situation for the Wolverines here. They allowed 426 yards to Southern Cal, who they also let get 27 points on them. So they've had moments where they've looked pretty decent. You know, they held Georgia to 339 yards, but they also allowed 5.75 yards per play. So looking at that metric a little bit wider, yards per play, as far as what Notre Dame gives up, that puts them, they're still, that makes them upper third. They give up 4.95 yards per play, makes them 33rd in the country. Again, teams that Michigan's faced, Wisconsin is number 1 in the country. Penn State's number 4, which allows 4 yards per play. Michigan's, by the way, ranked 9th there. Iowa's 21st. So Michigan's now got some games under their belt against top tier defenses. And obviously the way it looked against Penn State, that tells you that, you know, this hopefully will get some things going. Now, yards per play on the offensive side for Michigan, it's still like kind of lacking, but you know, at the same time, like 86 in the country, 5.5 yards per play. They're starting to be able to move the ball. That's still, again, that's lower half, but they're at least getting what Notre Dame gives up, essentially. So that's a positive. I think. Now, on the flip side, Notre Dame, they're doing pretty good on offense. They're 13th in yards per play. They get 6.86. So Michigan's defense has to step it up against the what is currently the number 30 total offense in the country. They get 450.5 yards every game. But I think by virtue of playing some of these top defenses and the offense starting to look better and better, I really liked what the offensive line was able to do. Getting later into the season, that's a positive sign. Whenever the offensive line starts to kind of gel, I think that gives you an opportunity to get into, you know, go into a game like this with a lot of confidence that you can get things done. Because now they went up against a top defense, one that was number one in the country in sacks, and they only allowed one. Penn State's now down to fifth in sacks. They were number one going into this this last game. They're now fifth. Granted, they might have fallen back anyway because Pitt, I know they got a ton of sacks this last week. They're up in number one now, but Penn State's now fifth, tied with Clemson, Virginia, Clemson, Virginia. They're one behind Ohio State. So that's a good deal. Notre Dame, they're 35th in getting to the quarterback. So again, not as daunting. This game just doesn't feel as daunting. And like I predicted last week on the podcast that I thought that Michigan would lose by a touchdown to Penn State, but then go on and win this game against Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's a very good team, but I think this is a winnable game. I think Michigan's on a similar plane, and I think by virtue of it being at home, Michigan's... Now, again, I said this on Sunday night. Like, this is assuming that this Michigan team doesn't let the Penn State game beat them twice. But I think if you take out like the kind of things that they were doing against Penn State and apply them against Notre Dame, I think they're in a really good spot finally. Like that game offensively for the last 2.5 quarters looked a lot more like what they were doing against Middle Tennessee at the beginning of the season than the rest of what we saw. And I think that includes Rutgers and all of that. So I think it's a really positive showing, but I understand and I know that positive showings aren't necessarily what everyone just wants at this point. Everyone's hungry for a Big Ten championship, but guess what? Seasons happen. Games happen for a reason. It is what it is. So you move forward, you move on, and you hope that everything is, you know, you got three rivalry games. So speaking of that, we are going to go on and we are going to talk about what the expectations for this season should be now going forward. But erectile dysfunction, yeah, we're talking about that again, used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to getroman.com/locked to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. All right, so season expectations, unfortunately, after this loss, they change because you got two losses in the Big Ten column. This next loss doesn't affect, you know, next loss, as if that's a foregone conclusion. I just said I think they're going to beat Notre Dame. That was not a Freudian slip. But this next game, if they lose it, it doesn't affect that part, but it would affect what Michigan might do in a bowl game, you know, for a bowl game. Lord knows that I still want a cool bowl game at this point. You can fight for a New Year's Six bowl. I know that's not ideal. That's not. But I think if they were to be able to get into a New Year's Six bowl game this year, that would be a different scenario than them going to the Peach Bowl last year, right? Because last year when they went to the Peach Bowl, they didn't want to be there. They wanted to be in the college football playoff, just like when they played in the Orange Bowl. They didn't want to be there. How many times I've said this time and time again, Jake Butt, sitting there being like, oh, we've got this sweet opponent. He didn't believe that. I didn't believe that. No one believed that. So, yeah, now you, that's one thing to fight for. Get a top-tier opponent in a bowl game. Winning out, obviously. But the most important thing is you do have all three rivalry games. I do think they'll win the first one. I do think they'll win the second one. I mean, it's been a while, I think, even since Michigan's won two rivalry games in a season, let alone with the possible three. Again, not predicting them to beat Ohio State, but I kind of have this feeling now just because it's kind of the opposite feeling of last year. Ohio State looked beatable last year, and I spent every week until the week of the game being like, I think that Michigan's going to beat them. And then the week of the game, I was like, I'm still going to predict it because Ohio State hasn't shown me any reason why I should pick them. But I kind of have a bad feeling about this. And that ended up being prescient. I'm kind of starting to get a different feeling right now. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because I just think Michigan's starting to kind of find itself. Ohio State's just rolling. And I still think that Michigan's got not necessarily equal talent, but they've got good talent. The game's at home. Ohio State, they're about to get tested really for the first time this week against Wisconsin, but they play Wisconsin at home. They play Michigan State at home. They play Penn State at home. This is their only real big road game, if I'm not mistaken. So I think when you look at that, going on the road to Ann Arbor, even though they might sit there and say, like, okay, whatever, it's, you know, we do it wherever we go. I mean, their road games this year were at Indiana. They played at Nebraska, which Nebraska is clearly not what people thought they were going to be. They already played Michigan State at home. They played at Northwestern. Then they play at Rutgers, is the only one they have left on the 16th of November. Before they go to Michigan. They host Penn State. They host Wisconsin. They host Maryland. So going to Michigan is by far going to be their biggest game. Now they get up for that game. But it just seems to me like whenever Michigan has no business being in an Ohio State game, they end up being in it. I look at obviously 2013 and 2017. Now, that game could be a runaway blowout, but Michigan's had their focus on winning this game all season long, you know, going back to the embarrassment of last year. If you don't think that this coaching staff doesn't have revenge in mind, and that's not necessarily going to get the job done, but I mean, I guarantee they're thinking about it now. They're not just going to do like they did last year and said, you know, like, yeah, they are taking things in a game-by-game approach, but you got to know, especially Don Brown, look how things went with Penn State last year. They want revenge. Will it happen? I don't know. But I think the people who are complaining, again, rightfully, but sometimes obnoxiously, nonetheless, I think the people who are complaining, like, these games are played for a reason because, yeah, right now you look at Michigan, you look at Ohio State, there's no reason why Michigan should beat Ohio State, but was there a reason why Illinois should have beaten Wisconsin? No. That's why you play the games. So, I think that becomes the new season goal. And say they don't get it done against Ohio State, if I'd say it's not a successful season if they beat Notre Dame and Michigan State, but I think it's at least a season that you can look at and say it wasn't a complete disaster. I say get to 10 wins, beat at least two of the three rivals if you can. Hey, if you beat two of them and one of them's Ohio State, no one's caring that much about if you lose to Notre Dame. I think people would still care if you lose to Michigan State. You just can't do it. But it is what it is, and I understand people say, and I saw that my colleague Kyle Rowland from the Toledo Blade, who covers Ohio State now, was covering Michigan, then covered both up Michigan and Ohio State, is tweeting out about a fan. It tweeted, like, you know, people who have these expectations are ridiculous. Let's recalibrate. Let's look at where Michigan was. And Kyle quote tweeted it, which I thought was way off base, because I'm not going to go look for fan tweets and then quote tweet them and tell them it's ridiculous. I think that's absurd of anyone with a blue check mark to do. If you tweet at me, then yeah, maybe I'll quote tweet it back. But not otherwise. But I think the fan was absolutely right, though, that look at what Michigan's been through. We all looked at this as being an easy fix in a sense that Jim Harbaugh is going to come in and reign supreme. I think it's still close. I do think we need to, temper what we expected, obviously, because we're in year five and it looks like a Big Ten championship's out the window. But this team's still better than it was without him. And for people who sit there and say, well, then gotta get someone that's going to get the job done. It's not necessarily that simple. It just isn't. If Harbaugh can't win at Michigan, I'm not saying no one else can, but to sit there and say, well, there obviously is someone else who can and will, I think that that's I don't think it happens overnight. I think it takes multiple years to build that thing. It's just, that's just reality, in my opinion. All right. Sorry if things were slightly incoherent. I'm just, like, as I said, I'm just super out of it, having been under the weather. But we will make up for the fact that I didn't have one podcast yesterday. We will have two on one of these days. I'm probably guessing Friday. We'll probably have the preview and with Mike Martin and probably another one. But we will make sure that there are six podcasts this week. If for some reason I don't have a voice another day, we'll do three on a day I do. That's how it's going to go this week. I'm going to make sure that there are podcasts up the wazoo, because it is a big week. So for the Locked On Wolverines podcast, I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole. Find me online at Isaiah Hole. Find the podcast at On Wolverines, Wolverines Wire at Wolverines Wire. If you would like to be a featured sponsor on the show, again, email me at ihole@usatoday.com. Find us on iTunes, Google, Stitcher, Himalaya, Spotify, wherever your podcast, or online at wolverineswire.usatoday.com, where we post our daily podcast every single day to go along with the rest of your Michigan football coverage. This was Locked On Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day.